Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. If you're watching us online, thank you so much for tuning in. If you didn't get to hear the amazing band today, stop by anytime on Sunday mornings. We'd love for to meet you face-to-face and shake your hand. But if you're watching live or if you're tuning in afterwards, we're in our prayer journals right now. If you do not have a book, we actually have a flyer in the back at the Connecting Center that you can pick that up. If you have your book but you forgot to bring it with you, the notes are in the back. So there's an answer key if you need to fill it in later. But we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to just read the opening statement that Rick Warren puts in this book, and it says this. Jesus didn't say, quote, "This is what you should pray." He said, quote, "This is how you should pray." The Lord's Prayer is not a magic spell or incantation. Instead, the Lord's Prayer is a pattern for prayer. So it's not bad to recite the Lord's Prayer, but if all your prayer ever does is recite the Lord's Prayer, you're missing out that what God gave us, what Jesus gave us in the teaching of this, he gave us a structure on how to pray. And this should be exciting news for everybody. Here it is. In knowing the Lord's Prayer, you should never be confused from this day forward how to pray or what to pray. Because you have, can I say that you have the structure to build off of, which we're going to kind of go line by line. This week we're going to cover 5 points, next week another 5 points. But I'm going to say this from the get-go. If I was going to do a proper teaching on the Lord's Prayer, it would probably take 10 hours. It's Jesus' pattern that he taught us. You think I can summarize it in 30 minutes? No way. So just know, we're just going to kind of be touching the top of these to get your mind rolling on it. In our nav groups this next week, you'll have further conversations about it. But I'm also going to encourage you to read the book, because there's a lot of notes that I'm not going to be preaching on, mainly because when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, I think any pastor, you should be able to prop them up at any time, and they give you a halfway decent sermon on the Lord's Prayer. This is a big deal. Like, did you graduate seminary? Yes. Do you know the Lord's Prayer? No. You send them back. They didn't graduate. Like, this is a go-to thing that you have to. So it's the model. And the first thing that we see is in the first part of the prayer, it says this is our prayer of connection. Step number one, remember how much God loves me. A prayer of connection. Our Father in heaven. Last week, we did an entire sermon on Daddy, Father, God, Papa. We had a long conversation that God wants to be our Father. We are not going to review that entire sermon today. If you missed last week, go back and listen to it, but we really cover the Father part, but I'm going to summarize it by saying this to you. We don't want to pray to God's power. We want to pray to God's person. So if all we ever do is God our Creator, that's true, and it's who He is, but that's an attribute, not the person. God of love, God of peace, God of the universe. Okay, great. But at some point, God's sitting there and goes, call me Dad, right? Call me Father. Make this a personal relationship with me. So we covered a lot of that last week, but here's one thing we didn't cover. Our Father who's in heaven. Because I have a father who lives on the other side of town, and I don't want you to get too confused. So I'm talking who he is and where he is. Our Father, who's in heaven. Why is he in heaven? Because he's not us. He's outside of us. He's other than us. He's bigger than us. So we're going to our Father who's in heaven in a personal relationship. Could you imagine if every time I talked to my wife, I said this, I said, hey, mother of my children, right? Hey, lover, right? Like, I think I can say that, right? I froze just a little bit right after it snuck out, so. You know, hey, cooker of my dinner. I have a question. That one didn't, the lover one came out better than that, didn't it? How long do you, I heard my wife in the back laughing, so I don't know. Yes, I would love to talk about that later. How long do you think that relationship would last with us? Versus at some point you'd go, call me Cammy. Call me honey. Call me sweetie, right? Make it personal. So with this, we're going to know how much God loves us, and we know how much he loves us because it's a personal one-on-one relationship with our Father. And then we go to point number two, hallowed be thy name. Step two, I tell God how much I love him. So this is a very interesting one, and because we're going to park here. Anyone ready for your Greek word for the day? Hagiazo. And no, this is not a a sub that you get at Penn Station. This is the Greek word holy right here. So here's what we're doing. We are telling God that he's holy. He's outside of us. He's perfect. He's not flawed like us. And what we do here is we worship him. Think about this. If every time I wanted to talk to God, I came to him and just started demanding what I need, how long would it be till he goes, just ask me how I'm doing, right? If every time I went to my wife and I wanted her to do this, or I was going to say do my laundry and do my dishes, but I feel like I'd go back to the original one I put my foot in. But if every time I talked to my wife, Cammie, if it was just to ask or demand something of her, how long would it go till any counselor in the nation would say this? That is a very destructive, abusive relationship, right? But yet, somehow we go to God when we want something from him. And in between service, I was told about an author, Larry Crabb, who wrote this in his book, that if we think God, we can come to God anytime we want and demand from him, that means we are actually in charge of God, he's subservient to us, and that's demonic. Think about that. I wish I would have come up with that on my own because it's that good. If only time we come to God is to demand from him, to get from him, to take from him, at some point he doesn't work for you. But the moment we elevate him up in our worship and we give him worth, God, you are beautiful. And it's as simple as this. Lord, I thank you for the air in my lungs that I can breathe. God, I thank you that my family is healthy. I thank you for the roof that's over my head. God, you are so holy. You are so beautiful. You amaze me. When I look, I open the back patio and I smell the air and I look at the grass. God, this is all sustained because of you. All of a sudden, it puts proper context of who you are and who he is. So you start your prayer time with worship. Because our job here on earth is to worth God. Give him worthy. Give him praise. So the opening of the prayer says this, Dad, I want to let you know how awesome you are. So that's a kind of a modern day translation that I think I can get away with. You start with giving God worth in this place. Then this step number three is, I offer my life to be used for God's purposes. Pastor Rick says it this way, it's a prayer of cooperation. When we say, your kingdom come. How many want me to say something controversial just to aggravate you today? Amen. Okay, good. Okay, so here we go. Ready? This is a fun one. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Nowhere along the line did Jesus say this. I need you to pray that I come back quickly and rescue you. Okay, got one. Good. I got one person not leaving. That's exciting. Okay, so just make sure you aren't confused in what I'm saying. Let's go ahead and double down on this one. There will never be a time from this podium that you hear me say the phrase, we believe in the rapture and it's coming anytime. No amen? You can't help me on that one? Okay, so here's why. Because as I read what Jesus taught us to pray, it wasn't about, hey, we're failing, can you come rescue us? He came 2,000 years ago and did that. Now he's saying this, bring heaven where I live onto earth where you live, because that's what you should have been doing from the very beginning. And here's great news. If I'm wrong and we're flying away together, you can wave and laugh. Like you feel free to be like, told you so. I'm like, you can't be a sinner in heaven. Okay, so like, we're flying away. So if I'm dead wrong, good news, we're still going to see Jesus. But if I'm right, why is it we leave with an escapist mentality wondering why the earth is bad? What if we actually live like this is our heaven? And you're going to say this is crazy, except that's what it was with Adam and Eve all the way back in the garden. But when Adam and Eve had to give worth, we cover that in point number two, had to give worth to one person, either Satan or God, and Satan's like, here, eat this tomato. It was a tomato, by the way, because it's the worst fruit in the world. Like, here, eat this tomato. And God cursed that to the ground, too, and made it red like hell. So, like, I mean, honestly, it's like snot inside of... You have to add salt just to try to help it. Time too much? Okay, moving on. And then Satan stands here, goes, eat this. God's sitting over here saying, don't eat this. Adam and Eve gave worth to one of them. Couldn't do it to both of them. And the moment they gave worth to the enemy, to Satan, all of a sudden God said, hang on a second, my place is going to be kept holy. So I'm going to remove you out of it because where I live is holy. Why? Because he's other than us. We covered that in the first part of the prayer. So God had to remove us out. And in removing us out, it was because he was saying, listen, I want to reside here, but I can't with sin in my presence. So God takes us through a process of making us holy so he can be with us. And his desire is always to be with mankind. Go all the way back. God put himself in a box throughout the entire Old Covenant in order to be with mankind. Jesus clothes himself in flesh in order to be with mankind. Now that Jesus is gone, the Holy Spirit is with us personally because he wants to be with us in mankind. And so if you're listening to a radio station and you find a lot of joy from it, and they have a song on this about, this is not my home, where's your home then? Mars? The moon? Like, this is our home. And we're supposed to, in our sphere, in our life, where we're living. Did you guys get the joy joke yet? Okay. So, I thought it was subtle enough, but now I just see grins. But think about this. In my house, in this church, where I work, where I go to school, wherever it might be, my job is to bring kingdom here where I reside. And if all I'm ever doing is waiting for one day when I, and then you look around and go, wow, as Christians, we're not being that effective. We're not trying. But what if my thought is this? I can live with God now as long as I make an environment that's holy. I make a place for him to be. And so when we read this, God, use our life for your purposes, prayer of cooperation, your kingdom come, your will be done here, now, in the present. And may my little piece of earth look so much like heaven that you want to come and reside in it. Think about that. Amen. I needed it just a little longer. No. Step number four. I give God my pain and sorrow at the prayer of surrender. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm just going to read you the orange portion on page 70. It says, this is the prayer Jesus prayed on the way to the cross. In his hour of deepest suffering, he prayed a prayer of surrender. He gave God his plans and sorrow, his pains and sorrows, and he surrendered his will to God. So Jesus is sitting in a garden, knowing that these Roman soldiers were going to come get him. He is so stressed about it. He's under such intense scrutiny that he's actually sweating blood. And he says to God, and by the way, this is my summary. I know that we've been working on this for a few thousand years, but here at the 11th hour, no pun intended, God, any way we can come up with a different plan than for me to go get beat, punched, spit on, beard ripped out, flogged, hung on a cross to have a spear stuck in my side. If we can figure any other way to do this, let's make it happen, God. But not my will, yours be done. Like there had to be a pause of, let's come up with something else. But eventually Jesus actually had to surrender his pain, had to surrender his sorrows, had to surrender his will in order to do what God wants. And here's what we have to hear in our life. There are places in our life that doesn't align to what God's wanting to do on earth. And either he has to change or we have to change. I'll go ahead and give you a little insight. It's going to be us. Why? He's perfect. We covered that in point one. He's holy. He's without flaw. And so any place that our earth isn't looking like heaven, there's adjustments that need to occur in order for his will to be done here on earth. And so there's times in our life that we're not going to want to do what we know we're supposed to do, but guess what? We got to do it anyway. And so it's this prayer of surrender as we give up our who we are to him. Step number five, and again, I want to remind you, I mentioned we're going to be going quickly through these, and just don't have time to go in depth with all of them. But on this one, I want to take a few minutes, because I don't think we understand this one fully all the time. But when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, this is probably the place that you park the most. Ready for this? I trust God to meet all my needs. Prayer of dependence. Give us this day our daily bread. So here's what this looks like. every single day in our life, we eat natural food to keep going. But how would you like to know that God gives you spiritual and soul food in order to keep you going also? And some of it's fantastic. It's my brother's birthday today, and my mom informed me that she has a full sheet cake from Crudus Bakery. Chocolate, thank you. I know, loudest amen. I love it. You just, after my own heart. And half of it, I think, is this white stuff that people shouldn't eat, but then there's chocolate, and it's extra thick icing. And guess what? I am looking forward to that daily bread. I am looking forward, because there's days in our life that are really good that the daily bread is easy to eat, right? The wife you didn't have a fight with, the husband you didn't argue with, the kids are all getting along, you actually got in your car and it was full of gas, you went to work and there was no bickering that occurred, you had a wonderful night's sleep, your favorite team just won NCAA tournament, your bracket's still looking great, and that daily bread is so easy because the daily bread of peace tastes good. But what happens when your daily bread is someone gossiped about you, you end up getting in trouble at work, you thought that you had a job just to walk in and find that pink slip, all of a sudden gossip is your daily bread, it's like having to eat a tomato, right? No one wants to, but there's a chance I need that to make me who I'm supposed to be. So what happens if your daily bread is one of deception, gossip, pain, betrayal? Are we allowed to tell God that we will not be eating from that buffet today? Because what if that's the bread we need on that day in order to make us who we're supposed to become? Because if not, you're going to get indigestion from this, or you're going to be malnourished if you don't eat it. So what happens when your daily bread is won because someone just lied about you? And now your personality, your someone's opinion about who you are, your reputation has been tainted, and there's nothing you can do about it. Can you still go and say, my Father who's in heaven, you're holy. You're beautiful. And God, I'm your son, and if I find validation through no one else but you, it's worth it. God, the world can lie about me, the world can abuse me, but as long as you hug me, I find peace in your arms. See, it's easy to pray on the good days. Okay, is it just me? It's easy when all the dominoes are lining up in your life and you're going about, but what about those days that you didn't even want to get out of bed because of shame and guilt, and you dread having to make that phone call, you dread having to make that conversation, you dread going back to that office with all the bickering and fighting and gossiping that's going on. You just dread those days, and on those days, can you say, God, you're worthy of my praise. And Lord, I don't know what I'm walking into today, but I say this, give me today my daily bread so that I can be fully nourished and living a healthy life that you called me to, not just a physical one of my body, but my soul and my spirit, for it to be life and life abundant inside of me. See, that's the time. Those are the prayers that have to be made, because God is forming us and shaping us to be holy here on the earth so his kingdom come and his will be done. And we don't know the diet that we should have, so we have to trust him to meet our needs. And, ready for this? I love this. Nowhere in the world are you going to find any person who is given all their food that they're going to need for their entire life given to them at once. It doesn't. It spoils. It goes bad. There's no way to do that. But what we can do is know that on a daily basis, God's coming through for us. And it actually makes us dependent on him, right? If every time I needed to eat, I had to get to my wife, guarantee a couple times a day, I'm going to find my wife. feed me, right? It because there's an inner craving that moves us to the things that we need. And so God has actually set up the system where he wants you. I don't want to say the word forces you. I think that would be kind of a wrong way to lay it out. Drives you, motivates you, encourages you to actually connect with him on a regular basis. So how does this look in our life? Ready for this? Here, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer for you by the model that I just demonstrated or shared with you. And it would sound, for me, it sounds something like this. And by the way, this isn't pre-written. I don't have to have a pre-written prayer because I know the model of prayer. Now that I know the model of prayer, I'm going to know what to say and how to say it anytime I want to pray. And I start with this: God in heaven, outside of me, outside of time and space, one who holds eternity in his hand, God, I just worship you this morning. I worship you. I worship you because I get to come to an amazing church in Collinsville that has what I think is just the top-notch band, and the overflow of their ministry I get to benefit from. I don't know how to sing, but God, somehow when I worship with them, I'm able. And so God, I thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you that I get to be a part of this. And then when we go, we need 150 volunteers, we have people rallied because it's about helping the one find their way home. God, I love the friends that between services I get to just talk to. Thank you. Thank you, God, for all the blessings that you've done here. And I pray in my life, any place that I'm out of alignment with you, I pray for an adjustment to come today. I pray where my brokenness should have healing, you adjust. I pray where unholiness resides, I want holiness because, God, I want you in my life. I want you here in this earth, in this present moment, living with me. And so, Lord, any place that I need adjustments, adjust it. But I will say this, before the day gets started, I thank you for the provisions you're going to give me. I pray, I desire for it to be good bread. But Lord, even the bread is a vegetable loaf. Even the bread that I wouldn't want to give to my worst enemy, anything that you bring my way, I believe you're doing it for my good. And I will grow from these places. And I'll advance in these places. And I'll have a nutritious life, both physically as well as emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So God, thank you today for my daily bread. See, I want you to notice something there. At anywhere along the line, have I asked God for something? I mean, I'm praising him. I'm telling I'll receive from him. The whole first part of this Lord's Prayer isn't a come to me when you want something and ask, ask, ask. Because we need to make sure we know who God is and who we are. And when you start with worship, it makes sure you know where he is compared to where you are. And it helps adjust our perspective for who God is. So here, the prayer coach will remind you this at the end, but I'm going to go ahead and let you know now what this week's prayer challenge is. This week's prayer challenge is, when you pray, don't ask for anything. And some of you are immediately going, well, what am I going to pray about then? Great. This is why it's a challenge. But could you imagine if you went an entire week talking to God, only just thanking him for him? And you go, well, what does this look like? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, ask God this question. God, how are you doing today? And you might go, well, he's God. He's great. Ask him. God, I thank you for, just fill in the blank. It could be incredibly simple, but I'm going to challenge you. Now, if any of you in your group, you guys had the ongoing prayer request going to turn them into praise reports, don't let me deter you there. I'm saying for you personally, see if you can't go all week long. This is your prayer challenge for the week. Go all week long worshiping God, thanking God, and praising God, but never asking anything from God. And next week, we'll even kind of double down on what that is. We're going to cover the second half of the Lord's Prayer next week. Right now, as I begin to close, I want to tell you this, that God was so interested in us talking to him on a regular basis. I mentioned earlier, he lived in a box for thousands of years. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. If you ever seen Indiana Jones, it's that one. So like he wanted to be around mankind, but he couldn't interact with us. So he put himself in a box. But then, 2,000 years ago, Jesus clothed himself not in a box, but actually in human flesh. We celebrate this on Christmas of his birth, coming up Easter. The reason we celebrate Easter is we believe that Jesus gave himself up to death in order for us to have life and life abundant. But then after Jesus served his time here on earth, he left, and we have the Holy Spirit that is currently residing with us. And rather than going to a person and a place, the Holy Spirit can live inside of us, or live with all of us individually. And that happens because Jesus gave his life so that you could live. And at Navigation Church, maybe you're watching us live, possibly afterwards. Maybe you're here for just one service. Someone's invited you and you said you're willing to come. Maybe you're looking for a home church and this is the place that's just kind of fitting with your rhythm. I'll let you know now, I'm going to take this opportunity to invite you into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I would hate for you to leave here today thinking that I've taught you how to pray to some God who isn't personal to you. Actually, he's so personal that he gave his life in order for you to live here on earth as well as one day in eternity. And so what we do here at Navigation Church is if that you want to say yes to Jesus, we actually just invite you to raise your hand just so that I can see that you've made that decision. The Word of God says this, that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth, you're saved. There's not a big long contract to sign. It's just that, yes, I want to receive that today. But in order for you to feel comfortable, could I just ask everybody around the room, if you could just close your eyes. If you want to bow your heads, bow your head. Well, I'm asking you to honor the people around you that may be ready to take their first step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I'm just going to re-ask the same question I've already asked. That if you're here today and you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you want to actually have a conversation with the person, not just a religion with a place, and you're ready to start a new journey in your spiritual life, with every eye closed and head bowed, if that's you today, could I just ask you to simply raise your hand in the air just so that I can see that you've made that decision and that we can celebrate with you? Praise God. I see those hands. If you're watching us online right now, same question is going to go out to you that went to everybody in the room. I know the first service, I think we had 6 or 7 hands that went up. So God is still doing things in people's lives now. And even though you're not sitting here with us, he can do it to you. I'm going to invite you to raise your hand, just like I did here in the room. And I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer with us now. If I could ask everyone, just say these words. Dear Jesus, today I worship you. I give you worth and my praise. And right now I ask for you to become Lord of my life and forgive me of my sins. And from this day forward, I journey as a follower of Christ. God, I thank you that you came to this earth. And while you're on earth, there were a handful of patterns that you gave us. And everything you did, Jesus, was so that we could connect with you. I thank you, God, that we don't have to search far and wide, that it's not a difficult thing, but you make this a personal, practical, and God, in so many ways, easy to connect with you. So right now, I just thank you for every hand that went up, but also for us, God, let us know this pattern of prayer so that we can worship you from this day forward. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we put our hands together and celebrate with those that have raised their hand today?